5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to your daily dose of facts to fight off the liberal gaslighting.
You can be in the middle of a hurricane.
You have sanctuary in the city of Chicago.
Or you can be on a calm day. North is still north. You could be in a thunderstorm.
I am angry. We are not going back. Not ever.
North is still north. People can yell at you.
The hell with the Supreme Court. We will defy them.
North is still north. It doesn't change fundamental things. And in this business, right is still right, even if you stand by yourself.
We don't get fooled again. No, no.
Live across the fruited plain and from sea to shining sea, we're converting the Marxist left 1 hour at a time on the Wendy Bell radio program.
Hey!
Well, hello, America, and beyond the fruited plain. Welcome home to the Wendy Bell radio program. We are your one stop, your one place for common sense, conservative values delivered by a mom. That's who I am. I'm a mom of five boys. I care about this country. I care about right versus wrong. I'm struggling just the same way you are to raise my children in a crazy world and to try to tell them, look, this is temporary. But we got a battle on our hands, folks. And you young men, you guys have a role here. And they pay attention, and I hope your kids are paying attention too, because not only do we have a country to save, we got a lot of dirtbags to carve out of our culture, don't we? And it's on full display today, my friends. Wendy Bell Radio Network app, follow us. We're on a live stream there. We're all over Rumble, number one female podcaster on Rumble. Yes, you found the right place. Welcome home. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. I believe those words. That's not just something we say. It's not just some shtick or gimmick. That's what this is all about. Every single day that you and I join together, this is what it is about, this fight. I think there is a great, and we say this often, it's beyond an awakening. I think it's a very difficult thing when you realize that you've been played. Have you ever been cheated on? I've been cheated on when I was a much younger woman. And when you find out because somebody tells you or something happens and you realize that you've not been seeing all the dots, and then you drift away a little bit up to 30,000 feet and you look down at all of the things that have happened. All the signs that you were either too busy or unwilling to see. It's humbling. It's hurtful. And you grow up really fast. And you vow never to get hosed again. And you build a wall around you, and it takes a while for somebody else to break into that wall. A lot of trust. And I think what we have right now, a lot of people who have been listening to the wrong voices, believing in something that really didn't exist, who realize they've been played. Black voters realize they've been played, and they've been played for generations, and they're waking up and they're walking away. Jews in this country, only 8 million. Many are very good friends of mine. The hurt that they are experiencing watching history repeat itself, except not in Germany, but this time in the United States. They're walking away. Young voters, they realize that they don't have it. The jobs, the money, the security, the opportunity, and they are wayward, looking for that North Star, and they too are walking away. And it's difficult. looking in the mirror and realizing that you were fooled is a big thing. But what you do with that can be beautiful. Today, we're going to tell you many stories of desperation. They're going to sound, when you look at the headlines, and if you don't dig into the meat and potatoes of the story, which most of us don't, right? That's why Rush used to call, you know, us drive-by voters, drive-by media, low-information voters, because we would believe whatever headline was put out there, never do our due diligence, click through the links and find the real story. Because the real story almost always is not the headline. Today's headlines talk of a very desperate Democratic Party, a desperate left, sort of like a cornered animal. You don't want to fiddle with a cornered animal. They show their teeth, they feel threatened, and they will do anything to get free. Democrats are in that position right now. The reality of COVID, how it was manipulated, how we were lied to, how the science, the technology, and all of that was mumbo jumbo, money making. That's not only just started to come out. There will be waterfalls of information from which the mainstream media cannot hide. That is coming. The reality of this dangerous transgender agenda, the nefarious players, the money to be made there, and the collateral damage, which would be America's children. That, too, is unraveling. The narrative surrounding January 6th and the punitive way in which, the cruel and merciless way in which the justice system and the left has railed against those of us who believed we needed to be heard before the vote was certified. That's all unraveling too, as is the speculation that is founded surrounding the 2020 election. Ultimately, it all comes out. The players behind these stories, these headlines, are hoping they can kick that can down the road. Nancy Pelosi wanted at least 50 years before the Capitol video from the 1700 surveillance cameras could ever be released to the public. The FDA wanted 50 years to reveal to you the reality of how toxic and terrible their vaccine was. And you and I walk around as the collateral damage. Whether it's a Generation Z voter in your family, I have three, who are worried about walking into this next chapter of life because college, by and large, has been a disappointing indoctrination experiment. And if they didn't take the bait, and they didn't accept the homing beacon, and they didn't go to the factory to collect their clone trooper outfit, many feel adrift at sea, wondering if they're going to find a mate, a friend, a partner for life, to go and fumble through the various chapters of grown-up life, the way we all have. And the wet blanket on this landscape of desperation on the left is an oppressive economy that is suffocating all of us, and an insulting Biden administration that believes sending out somebody who's not very intelligent and a very poor speaker to lie to us and tell us, no, 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 you just don't understand how good it is, gives insulting a bad name. The big story today, and we hope to be able to dial in our friend Christina Bobb, because she is now a lawyer for the RNC, who has supported Donald Trump in his legal maneuverings, has also been an outright advocate for election integrity and wrote a book about the nonsense in Arizona in 2020, which, lo and behold, last night blew up as 18 people in Donald Trump's orbit who helped investigate and push forward this idea that that wasn't the safest, most secure election ever, are now indicted. Because lawfare is the sign of desperation. Honest people who do good work, who go to bed at night and slide into the sheets, knowing who they are, comfortable with who they are, aren't always on the attack. Desperate people who are up to no good, whose lives revolve around deceit and fraud and blackmail and bribery and everything dark that you can imagine do. So for the next 3 hours, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to walk through some of these headlines. And I hope that at the end of these 3 hours, you will be able to identify, we're okay. The left is scrambling because they know the walls are caving in around them. And they can't afford any other groups of people to similarly walk away. Quick time out when we come back. I want to talk to you guys about this. Biden, Joe Biden, deeply, deeply underwater. This might be a poll that a lot of people aren't talking about. Mainstream media, certainly not, because it blows up their idea of success. Well, bad news for Joe Biden, hence the desperation. I'll drop it on you next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. So here's a poll. This is Breitbart.com. Biden deep underwater on top issues of inflation and immigration. None of this is surprising to me because, of course, you and I are all living through it. We pay attention to the news every day. It makes you uncomfortable. I don't know about you guys, but I'm not out late at night anymore unless I'm carrying and ready, right? I think we all can agree that our country today, vis-a-vis 3.5 years ago, is way different. And it's not good. And it's not sustainable. And Joe Biden, just the placeholder for it, not the guy who's really doing anything. All of them have done this on purpose. And America knows. So here's your story. President Joe Biden's approval rating deep underwater on what Americans rate as their top two issues in an Economist YouGov poll. Poll published yesterday asked 1,651 U.S. adult respondents to pick the most important issue for them 7 months away from the election. The top response, inflation. It's always the economy. How much money do you have? It matters. That was at 24%, inflation or prices. Second, 14%, immigration. It's why it's not 90%, right? Moreover, 97% of all respondents tabbed inflation as important, with 77% saying it is very important. Joe Biden wants to finish the job. Karine Jean-Pierre touts how wonderful this is. We've done so much. 85% consider immigration as important, including 56% who say it's very important. But Biden's approval ratings on these fronts are more than 30 points underwater. Only 29% approve of his handling of inflation and prices. 62% disapprove of his performance, including 49% who disapprove strongly. Like, if this is just an easel, and these are some colors that are being splattered on the easel or on the paper here, and we're not getting any firm lines, you're seeing what's showing up here. Everything sucks. Okay? Everything. One thing. Tell me one thing that the Democrats have done that hasn't sucked. I challenge you. Because it doesn't exist. Because finishing the job means destroying this country, getting you on some suck electric grid that they control, breaking you financially so you're on your knees, and you need that government help. And that in turn allows the federal government to balloon out of control, the deficit to continue going sky high until we are a figment of our former selves, invaded by people who should never have come. The margin was even worse for Biden among independents. I mean, I don't know what to say to the dude. Only 17% of independents approve of how Joe Biden has approached inflation. 72% disapprove. To me, that's not even the takeaway. The takeaway to me is that there's 17% of idiots out there who are like, no, I really love when I pay more but get less. I think it's fantastic when shelves are bare and when I have to wait in line at the gas station where prices are $1.50 higher than they were when Joe Biden took office. 17%. Who are you people? Biden owns a similar 29% approval rating on immigration, with a strong majority, 61% disapproving of his performance in this department. He has major problems with independents here as well, just 17%, giving him positive marks, and 69% saying, you suck. I ad-libbed that, sorry. This poll also shows the president's overall approval rating, 36%. Now, according to CNN and NBC that we saw late last week, Joe Biden's approval is below Jimmy freaking Carter. How many of you are surprised by this? Because I remember going into the voting area on November 3rd of 2020. And I look at all my liberal neighbors, of which there are many. And they're giddy because they have bought into this idea that Donald Trump is some terrible person. So what that our country is safe and we haven't gotten into war? So what that there's no inflation, that gas prices are reasonable? So what that there's record low Black, Hispanic, and female unemployment? So what that billions of dollars have been given to HCBUs or HBCU, historically, HBCUs, right? Which completely blows up the narrative that Donald Trump hates anybody who's not a white dude. So what about all that stuff? He's a bad guy. Why? I don't know. You're going to hear that sentiment coming up on this program. How many of you think that the people, the students, the co-eds who are paying attention and are protesting at our colleges and universities for Hamas, how many of you think they actually know what they're talking about? How many of you think that they're just riding a wave? That they want to be in the know, right? I don't want to be in my dorm room. I mean, why am I in my dorm room? Canceled classes, everything's on Zoom. I want to go where the action is. So all sorts of people who are, you know, gawkers, show up and pay attention to what's going on. Professional agitators paid for with George Soros money, demonstrably proven, at least in Columbia University's case, in New York University. Right? Professional agitators sucking in all of these people who are wayward souls on purpose, by design, thanks to Barack Obama and his merry band of suck. And you knew it going in on November 3rd, 2020. If you idiots in here with me vote Democrat, I guarantee you, you will be very, very unhappy. Bang, 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 bang. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, it does smell like desperation as a new round of indictments against Trump allies is unfurled in Arizona. We're going to walk through what's being said, about whom and why. Don't go anywhere. You're tuned in to the Wendy Bell Radio Network. This college campus stuff is really wild. It is terribly disappointing. It's frightening. And it is the 1930s all over again. This idea that you should hate someone here in the United States or anywhere otherwise based on their religion or their skin color or their gender or their whatever is to me so vile. And it's so antithetical to the ideas that I think our founding fathers had for this country. And it's gross. But if you think about it, if you're a desperate political class, not even political party, if you're desperate because you realize you need to stay in control to finish the job, but everybody around you is awakening to how much you suck, and no matter how much propaganda you put out, how much the media you control, how much you spy on your political enemies, how much you're in bed with the social media companies controlling what gets said, who can say it, what can get, you know, sent out into the ethos, when you realize that despite your control of all of those things, people still aren't in lockstep with you, and you are risking losing it all. You are that cornered animal, and you will stop at nothing. And so sadly, we have these young people on college campuses, and I remember being 18. I never remember feeling as though I knew everything or that I was super sage. Like, I didn't come home from college and like, oh, mom and dad, let me tell you what I've learned, right? I watched my dad sweat, build a business, work his tail off, burn the midnight oil, volunteer, never stop giving, never stop doing, never stop growing, never stop dreaming. And I knew that college was a pit stop. These kids really think they're powerful because nobody has told them to shut the hell up. Because, you know, that actually works. And so when I read this article by John Nolte on Breitbart this morning, and he really is great. I encourage you to follow this guy because he can take these ideas and he does a beautiful job of just boiling them down historically into, hey, do you guys remember Hitler? You guys remember that? Because this is what we're doing. We're creating this new Hitler youth. And we're watching them unfold on these college campuses. And isn't it interesting? These aren't like ramshackle tents that people are pulling out of their parents' basements. It's almost like there is some mail order protest kit, right? That comes equipped with, hey, here's your pop-up tent. Here's this. Here's your kaifka or whatever the thing is called. And go, right? This isn't like a bunch of ramshackle people getting together and just joining together. It's funded. And it's funded by dark people like dirtbag George Soros. And it's bringing in outside agitators, people who are specifically used in these situations the way they were used on January 6th. The way those black ninjas jumped out of the vans that the DC Metro Police gave an escort to the front of the Capitol building to, right? Because, you know, MAGA people, when you go to the Capitol hoping to watch history, hoping against hope that your elected representatives who constitutionally are obligated to pay attention to you, to represent you and to say, whoa, 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 we got some questions. You can't just hit fast forward past what we experienced on November 3rd, 2020 and expect everybody to be kosher with it, right? Those people did not show up wearing all black. Grandmas who go inside the Capitol from Colorado Springs to say a prayer don't go in looking like they're going to break out in a ninja breakdance. This is all planned. Everybody is seeing it. You have to live under a rock. And so back to these college campuses. University of Texas. You guys see any of the video cracking down? Good to see. Get them the hell out of there. NYU. 100 arrests in California. 100? How about 1,000? So here is the story. It kind of gives you an update on where we are with this ridiculous chapter of protest. See, it's okay if these people do it, but if you go to the Capitol and there are agitators there whose purpose is to draw you into a narrative of suck, you can be thrown away and you can lose your freedom for decades. How does that make sense? So this is what Nolte writes. He says, what we're seeing across America's elite academic institutions is something the Western world has not seen since the 1930s in Germany. An open, naked, toxic violence, seething, and uncompromising hatred of the Jews. Worse, we are seeing a mainstream acceptance of that hatred. But the funny thing is, some of these people don't even know why they're there. I want you to hear an audio soundbite. This is an NYU student protester. And she's got like the drive-by slogan. You know, they know a couple bullet points. But if you were to actually peel back the onion and ask a question, why are you protesting? What are you protesting? They can't answer the question. Listen to this. Give and go. Person recording and the protester who starts strong and then realizes she's got nothing. Go.
And what would you say is the main goal with tonight's protest?
I think the goal is just showing our support for Palestine and demanding that NYU stops. I honestly don't know all of what NYU's doing.
Is there something that NYU's doing?
I really don't know. I'm pretty sure they're... Do you know what NYU's doing?
About what?
About Israel. Why are we protesting here?
Palestine will be free!
I wish I was more educated.
I'm not either.
I came from Columbia. I was there up at Columbia, and we came down. They said NYU students needed our support. So I came down. I heard there's lots of cops. Some people were saying it was getting dangerous.
This is an event for them. This is a social media gathering. Who knows? Maybe this is how they'll all hook up. I don't know, but they don't know what they're doing. I wish I was more educated, she says. Why are we doing this? She started for like 3 seconds. We're here to demand that they stop. I don't really know what we're here for. Do you know what we're here for? And the girl said, about what? And they're wearing masks, right? I mean, you could not get poster children that are more apropos for this ridiculous phase in American history. Through compulsory youth camps. Adolf Hitler did in the 1930s what elite universities are doing today, creating Jew-hating totalitarians. I agree. Jews were excluded from the Hitler youth camps. Today, as we see everywhere, disgraced universities, MIT, Columbia, NYU, Harvard, they might not openly reject Jews on campus, but did we not just see an Israeli professor have his key card deactivated and he was not allowed to enter the campus? Because that is happening. The student bodies, much of the faculty, the anti-Jewish curricula, and the administration's tolerating venomous anti-Jewish hate protests have all sent a clear message. Jews are not welcome. I want you to hear this. It's not just on college campuses. You know, this is where these fringe groups of suck under the tent of the Democratic Party are rearing their ugly heads and showing the multi-headed snake that they are. This is a drag queen. This is a guy dressed up garishly as a woman, which doesn't offend the left, the Me Too vagina hat wackos on the left, who protested en masse over Brett Kavanaugh, right? Who are strangely silent about all of this drag crap and the bastardizing of women's spaces, right? This is a drag queen in front of little kids at story time, which is totally inconceivable at face value, sending a very special message to the children he hopes to indoctrinate too. Listen.
Today what we're gonna do is we're gonna shout, "Free Palestine." Can I hear that?
Free Palestine!
If you're a drag queen and you know it, shout,
"Free Palestine!"
If you're a drag queen and you know it, and you really want to show it, you're a drag queen and you know it, shout,
"Free Palestine!"
Excellent.
So every parent who's sitting there with a child is no different than every Democrat who went into the voting places on November 3rd of 2020 and voted Democrat. You are the problem. Why would you not get up and walk out. Do you need a guy pretending to be a woman telling you about a war and a people thousands of miles away that is based a lot on propaganda? No. Thank God we have Corinne Jean-Pierre there. She's always quick to be able to explain how strong and swift, how serious and seasoned Joe Biden is. He's all over this, ladies and gentlemen. There's no place for hate, we think. Listen.
And just what's the president's personal reaction to what he's seeing playing out on these college campuses? What would it be his message to those who are peacefully protesting, those who feel targeted? All sides of the community.
No, I hear your question. I think the president's been very clear.
Oh,
he's
boy.
He put out a statement.
Oh,
in his Passover statement, he talked about we can't be silent here. Silent is complicit. And we can't allow that. We believe in First Amendment rights, right? We believe in people being able to express themselves in a peaceful manner. But when we're talking about hateful rhetoric, when we're talking about violence, we have to call that out. We have to call that. And we've been consistent here throughout this administration. The president has been consistent about it, obviously, since 2017, but even before that, when he saw what happened in Charlottesville. We have to call out hateful, violent rhetoric. But we want to make sure that people have the opportunity to peacefully protest. Peacefully protest.
This is the same Joe Biden she's talking about being such a big guy who called Barack Obama when he was running for president clean and articulate, right? Come on, Corinne. My goodness. Sometimes you just have to step back and giggle a little bit because it's so preposterous. Well, how about this? What happens when the media start to self-destruct? Because it happened yesterday. It happened on, I believe, CNN. I love this. A little squabble. And you got to hear this because it shows how much they are freaking at the walls closing in on the left. I got it for you coming up next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. You guys remember earlier this week, I think it was, the guy on Monday at the beginning of Donald Trump's hush money trial in Manhattan set himself on fire and killed himself? That's exactly what the media are doing to themselves. They're taking hits off the same gasoline tank. And somebody's walking around with the Zippo and they're just going, krik, krik, krik. You know how people, isn't that the sound, Brock, when people fiddle with the...
Yeah.
it's what's going on. How about this story? New York Times reporter stuns CNN's Jonah Goldberg by spinning for anti-Semitic protesters. So this happened Tuesday, happened on the morning show CNN this morning. You've got this right-leaning, I don't even know if I would call him right-leaning. I'm not familiar with him very much. Sorry, I don't watch the news. But his name is Jonah Goldberg. He was condemning the anti-Semitic pro-Hamas rhetoric used by far-left protesters on college campuses. Sitting next to him on the panel is New York Times reporter Lulu Garcia Navarro, and she gets kind of snippy as she jumps in to cut him off and argue against the use of police against anti-Israel protesters harassing Jewish students. She makes the argument that, well, they're already agitated. They're already anti-police. They're anti-authority. Which college kid doesn't go through that at some point? Right? You think you know everything. You're the smartest person in the world. You've done nothing. You've contributed to no one yet. But for some reason, because you're surrounded in your own echo chamber of the college campus indoctrination experience, you really think you're all that. So we're going to go and we're going to take back the streets. Yeah. Right? Join us. Yeah! What are we doing? I don't know. What's happening? Well, hurry up. Grab your mask. So idiotic. But her argument is they already don't like law enforcement. So if you send in law enforcement to shut this down, NYU, you send in the cops, it's only going to tick them off more. That's called bad parenting, Lulu, with a hyphenated name. I already don't like you. Choose one. Lulu? Don't send in the cops. It's just going to make them madder. Then absolutely send in the cops. And make sure they've got nightsticks, okay? That's what you need to have. Lulu? So I want you to hear the exchange between them. Normally we cut this stuff up, but it's in its entirety. You've got to hear the give and go so you can hear these mainstream media people literally self-digest. Go.
Look, I think the anti-Semitism stuff, particularly Passover, is a big issue. It's a legitimate issue to talk about. It's a serious issue. And I think there's a lot of anti-Semitic stuff going on out there. But when you're saying you're Hamas, when you're praising Hamas, when you're praising Hezbollah, when you're saying you're going to globalize the Intifada.
Excuse me, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but everyone.
I'm going to finish my point. It means you're pro-terrorist. If you are celebrating Hamas, you're a pro-terrorist.
I'm not disputing that. What I'm saying.
That's my point.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is there are selective quotes that are being taken, often not from students themselves. In the encampments in Colombia, they have said this. There are Jewish students who are actually part of this. And they are being used to say,
You didn't let me finish my point.
No, that's true. But just would say more broadly, when people are calling for action, like Representative Gottheimer, what are they actually calling for? You've already had police go on.
If the people in those encampments, whether they're Columbia students or not, if the university can clear them from that encampment, then that is something the university can do.
But they've already put, let me just say how we got here. Columbia chose to bring police to clear the encampment that inflamed the situation to where now you're seeing these protests spread to Yale, to New York University, and beyond. Many people have said that the action of bringing police into a group of people who are already feeling that they are sort of representative of the oppressed,
They're crybabies.
George Floyd in 2020, and seeing what is happening in Gaza, that has only really acted as a catalyst here. And so I wonder at the wisdom of bringing in the armed police into what is essentially a university campus.
I question the wisdom of having a double standard that says it's okay to shout hateful terror pro-terrorist things at Jews, but you can't. You have to have
no one is endorsing that.
A lot of people are endorsing that. A lot of people aren't condemning it. Yeah, a lot of people aren't condemning it. And I agree with you. Universities and the Democratic Party and the left have a huge problem trying to figure out how to cut this Gordian knot that they've created for themselves. But that doesn't mean I have to sort of condone or not call out. I got a lot of scars from calling out horrible statements on the right over the last 10 years. I call out anti-Semitism and bigotry all the time on the right.
Of course.
I don't hear a lot of that from sort of squad adjacent type people calling out this stuff on the left.
So John Fetterman had put out a tweet yesterday saying, like, we are very close to Charlottesville for some of this stuff. Do you agree with that?
I think the comparison can go too far, but I think Joe Biden's statement yesterday, where he basically did there are good people on both sides kind of thing, was not the kind of moral clarity. The written statement was pretty good. But look, Democrats have a huge problem here because there's a big chunk of Biden's coalition that does not like to hear criticism of any of this, you know, anti-Israel stuff, and they don't know how to get out of it.
They don't know how to get out of it. And the woman sitting next to me, or next to him, Lulu. This is what a snowflake sounds like. Well, we don't want to ruffle any feathers. They already feel oppressed. For what? They're going to a $66,000 a year school. How the hell are you oppressed? You sniveling jerks. Get out of the streets. Get off of the quad. Take your garbage. Pick it up. Get your act together and grow the hell up. How about them apples? Lulu?
Well, they don't like the police because they already feel oppressed.
Do you know who feels oppressed? January 6 hostages who've been thrown into solitary confinement for months at a time, Lulu, you twit. Coming up next, let's talk about this indictment. These 18 people now, Donald Trump named as a co-conspirator. What the hell is Arizona doing? Covering up election fraud much? Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network.